Let's walk in righteousness, friend. It'll please the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IRN, its advertisers, or affiliates.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, well, for this hour, we're going to have Melody Cederstrom with us, and Melody does support Radio Liberty, and we support her. We think she does a good job, and we always really enjoy having her with us here. Hi, Melody. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm really doing fine. I had a little medical problem. I figured I'm just a little over a month, actually a month and 1 week out of surgery, and I'm doing amazingly well. So I'm just so tickled, and I got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot of people out there praying for us, and I really appreciate that.
Well, that's just wonderful.
Well, anyway, certainly we're having exciting times financially. Did you notice where the European Central Bank had released $500 billion, that's $500 trillion. They released it just a couple of days ago to the banks over in Europe to try to get the system working.
Yes, and we continue to put money into supply money to the banks to keep them to ease part of the global credit crisis. And there's more and more that comes out that shows just how global this situation is. We have, you'll hear reports of how the Australia and again the ECB and the Fed and other countries are continuing to put liquidity in these markets to see that they continue, and yet so little is discussed and people really don't realize how severe the situation is.
Well, I see where the Federal Reserve System, the U.S. Federal Reserve System, just gave $20 billion, or lent it, I'm sure, to Credit Suisse, which is one of the two largest banks in Switzerland. Now, the Swiss have always been, the stalwarts. They've had this solid banking system, and America, the Federal Reserve System, having to lend $20 billion to Credit Suisse, and they're not having a problem with the CDOs, the collateralized debt obligations. I suspect that what they are into is derivatives. They are actually written derivatives guaranteeing all these bonds are going to be paid, and the bonds are not going to be paid. And when you guarantee the bond's going to be paid and it's not paid, then you've got to come up with a difference. And the United States Fed is providing money to the Credit Suisse, and who knows where else they're having to put it. But what people don't understand is the problem is not a matter of liquidity. In other words, there's plenty of money out there. I mean, there are trillions of dollars of money out there. What you're doing, we're dealing with is solvency. What you're doing with, is these derivatives. And there are somewhere between 450 and 500 trillion dollars worth of derivatives out there. These are guarantees written by banks and financial institutions that these bonds will all be paid off. And what happens if they're not paid off? Who's out there has got 450 or 500 trillion dollars? They're not that much money in the whole world, and they never will be. And of course, there are going to be real problems coming down the line as more and more of the people who've written the derivative contracts are going to have to actually fulfill their contractual obligations. The whole world monetary system is teetering on the edge of collapse, and the average American has no idea what's going on out there. But before this ends, I fear that an awful lot of people are going to lose their pensions, they're going to lose their insurance policies, they're going to lose the value of the American dollar, and countries throughout the world are talking about getting out of the dollar. Inflation is running rampant in many parts of the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. I was just commenting on inflation. Apparently, there's a lot of inflation over in the Arab countries, and it's a direct result of the fact that their currency is tied to ours, and we are running about 11% inflation, and the government's simply lying to us. But why should we be surprised that the government is lying about the inflation rate? Because at 11%, they have to do something. They've got to stop issuing more money, but they're not doing it. In fact, they're trying to basically issue as much money as they can to try to keep the whole system from collapsing. In the process, they're feeding the fires of inflation. What do you think about that, Melody?
Well, inflation is certainly rising, and we see it. And of course, they continue, as you said, they continue to tell us that we don't have any, or it's a very small amount. But I'll tell you what, it hits the pocketbooks of the American people out there and their families. And you know, families with children, it must be very difficult. I don't have children at home. It must be very difficult for those who do, as we see, I believe it was the price of milk has a 23% increase through November. And we see wheat prices hitting all-time highs. And so people are going to have to start giving up their food. I saw where there's one article where a father was cutting back on the children's milk consumption because of the price, and he needs the money to be directed for gasoline, most likely to get to and from work. And the families and the children are the ones that are going to suffer through these great high inflation prices. And you're right, it's worldwide. And we've exported our inflation for so long, and they certainly globalized everything, so now everybody feels it. And you know, it's all part of the problem. And not only do we have the high food prices, also there will be a degree of shortages of the food when you have these high wheat prices. And we've seen the droughts that we have in the wheat and other areas, and you have China, and you have these other major buyers of these commodities because they know what's going on. They're hoarding. They're going to get as much as they can, and they now have the money to do so. You know, in years past, they weren't positioned. In order to take these huge buys and take these products and commodities off the markets like they are able to do now. So we are certainly entering into new times. And
Hold that thought right there, Melody. We'll be right back. You go right ahead, Melody. Melody was simply talking about the inflation, about the skyrocketing price of wheat. Wheat is up to $10 a bushel. I mean, I can remember when it was $1 or $2 a bushel, $3 at the most, and that's where it was even during the inflationary period. You know, back in the 1979, 1980, and now it's up to $10 a bushel. And what that means is there's going to be shortages in many parts of the world. And, of course, wheat is the foundation of bread and of so many of the things in our society. Bread is the staff of life. Wheat is the staff of life. And $10 a bushel, it means a lot of people are not going to be able to afford it. Corn prices have tripled because of it's being used for to produce ethanol. And as a result of this, why people all throughout the world are unable to afford corn. And yet corn is one of the staples. Corn and wheat are two of the staples. And then, of course, so many of the other things that Melody was talking about, the skyrocketing price of, of milk. Milk is getting up around $5 a gallon, or half a gallon, I'm not sure which it is, but I know that it's ridiculously expensive. So you go ahead, Melody.
Well, you're right with this ethanol, and you know, they're only pushing this ethanol is because it puts the money in the back pockets of those that are passing all the legislation in order to for all these biofuels, and in the meantime, it's taking, you know, I mean, you look at corn, and it feeds the animals, it feeds the, you know, for the cows and everything else, and again, we're right back to China. As they change, as their culture changes, as they become more westernized, so does their food habits. You know, they will be turning more to beef. They will be turning more to other items in which it takes more of these products, the grains, off the shelves. So it's going to continue, and I don't know how. Well, something will have to happen in order to bring things back to a normal balance, because we are so out of balance right now.
Well, I think that the inflation, though, I think is just going to get worse. In fact, it was Alan Greenspan who recently said that we now have stagflation. What's stagflation? Well, it means you have inflation and a stagnant economy that's not expanding. Ordinarily, when you have inflation, the economy expands. But, of course, when you have stagflation, you have a stagnant economy that is not expanding and prices going through the roof. And, of course, usually this precedes, you know, an inflationary recession. And Sidney Morgan Stanley has come out with a report saying we are actually in a recession at the present time. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the difference between a recession and a depression. A recession is when your neighbor loses his job and loses his home and his car. And a depression is when you lose your job and you lose your home and your car. And believe me, recessions lead to depressions. And I see nothing that suggests this is not going to happen, no matter how much money they pour out. And it's all creating inflation. And we do have inflation in the United States. And they're simply deceiving the American people. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But I think the most significant thing I've read this last week was the fact that over in Abu Dhabi and in the Arab Emirates, why the inflation rate is between 10 and 12% a year. And they're saying, look, let's cut the relationship between our currency and the American dollar, because if we do not, if we don't form our own currency, our own monetary system in this area, well, we're going to get into runaway inflation, and it'll lead to the destruction of our economy. And these Arab countries they've got a lot of money, and that's one of the reasons why they're having inflation. But if they cut the relationship between their currency and the American dollar, and enough countries do that already. Venezuela and Iran have done that, and other countries are talking about it. Why? What? And I believe that Dubai has already cut their relationship with the American dollar. You're talking about the dollar losing its reserve status. We have actually been exporting our inflation. We've been printing all this money and buying all these things throughout the world, buying 6% more a year than we're exporting. And it's really been great. We have tremendous prosperity here, apparent prosperity. But what happens if suddenly all those dollars that we've exported to other countries that are being held as reserve currency come back to the United States? What will that do, Melody? Melody?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was thinking of, I didn't hear your last question.
Well, basically the question was, what happens if the dollar loses its reserve status, if other countries, we've already mentioned, I believe, that Dubai, certainly that Venezuela, that Iran have cut the relationship between their currencies and the American dollar, but what happens if other countries cut off their relationship to the American dollar, stop using it as the reserve currency? What happens when all those dollars begin coming back into America?
Well, I think you're going to have a dollar that's going to that will be totally devalued, and we do see more and more countries that are shying away from the dollar. And I guess just recently they announced that even the Taj Mahal is no longer accepting U.S. dollars, that they will only take rupees. And so it's slowly going around the world that the people just don't want the U.S. dollar. And it's going to lose its value, and it will be devalued. It will continue to lose value.
And, of course, right recently, over the last couple of weeks, by the value of the dollar has been going up.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, this is an aberration. It's simply because so many people anticipated it would continue going down, but there's no real basis for it going up. The dollar is not more valuable. It's a fiat currency. It has no value at all other than the value that they can assign to it and by manipulation of the monetary increments. But I really fear that the value of the dollar is going down. I was reading somewhere that, you know, during the first quarter of last year, I think it was 69 businesses in New England were bought up by foreign countries. Foreign countries are coming in here and buying up America.
Yeah.
They buy up the country, the companies. They either take the machinery and move it over to their own country, or they suddenly cut back on the American laborers working there, bring in their own people and operate it. But the profits from these countries, from these companies, will not remain here in the United States. The profit is going to be going to other countries throughout the world. And the same thing is happening as they come in and buy up the New Jersey Turnpike and the Ohio Turnpike and the Chicago Skyway and Sydney. They begin buying up the infrastructure of America. And, of course, they can charge large sums of money for your driving on these highways. And these were bought and paid for by the local taxpayers, bought and paid for with government money. But the various states are running short on funds to meet their pension obligations or other programs they want, so they're simply selling off their infrastructure. And with that, of course, goes the selling off the future of our children and our grandchildren. But states, more and more of our states, are getting into problems. California is facing a $14 billion deficit this coming year, and that's what they'll admit to. You know, in other words, they've budgeted a certain amount of money. They're going to come up $14 billion short. Where's the money coming from? Are we going to borrow it right now? Of course, we borrowed $40 billion last year. They want to borrow another $40 billion this year. But so much, of course, of what we're putting out is to pay interest on that money that's borrowed. When Arnold Schwarzenegger came into office, became the governor here about three years ago or so, the budget for the state of California was $100 billion a year, give or take a couple of billion dollars. Today it's $140 billion. It's got over $146 billion. I think it's gone up $46 billion since Arnold Schwarzenegger, the conservative political leader, became the governor of the state of California. And, of course, at what point do we begin to say we've got to cut back on spending? Now they want to expand the free medical care for the people who don't have medical care here in California. They've come up with a wonderful plan, but where's the money coming from? Are you having this sort of troubles there in Pennsylvania, Melody?
Yes, they have. The governor here in Pennsylvania had been pushing to open up casinos. And it's just the way they spin everything. They spin it to make people believe that it's for their benefit because it will lower property taxes. So, you know, it's just, you know what, Dr. Stan, is when we talk about billions and trillions of dollars, when you mention the derivative markets, and that continues to go up too. I can't believe in the last quarter it went up over 600 trillion. Numbers don't mean anything to anybody anymore. I don't think people can grasp because these numbers are tied to paper, to nothing. There's no value behind them. And they just continue to increase. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me about, I think it was a family member, they were talking to me about this game show, about how you could win millions of dollars on this game show on television. And it was just like, I remember the game shows that I used to watch. People were happy when they could win a vacuum cleaner. and now it's all tied to there's no value to anything anymore. People need more and more and more, and it's really kind of bizarre because there's no reality to anything. And nothing is tied, there isn't anything that is tied to real value. But one of these days, all of these trillions and billions and trillions of dollars will have to be valued to what they really are. And what they really are is nothing.
And I remember a television program, it was called the $64 question.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it got to be the $64,000 question. I don't know if they were to bring it back, it'd probably be the $64 million question.
Probably.
Well, people, very, very few people would win that, but of course, when you see what some of our baseball players are getting, you know, for, well, I saw an interview with a fellow the other day, he's getting $300 million for playing baseball. He's a slugger for the Yankees, didn't do very well in the postseason. $300 million? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Melody, you go right ahead.
So there is no reality.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
last thing is they would want these to go to the replacement value. There's shortages of gold in the world. There's shortages of silver in the world. And Goldman Sachs and several other major banks are, and then of course the Tokyo Stock Exchange are shorting gold and silver to keep the prices down. They're manipulating the market. It's illegal. But then who would you report this to? Would you report what Goldman Sachs is doing to Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, who just happened to come from Goldman Sachs? Gave up a $40 million a year salary to take a job that only pays him $180,000 because he's such a great patriot? I mean, all sorts of corrupt manipulation is taking place with the Working Group for Financial Matters. We call them the Plunge Protection Team. They're manipulating the stock market. Why? They want to keep the price up because we feel good. When the cost of or the price of stocks is going up, while we're making money, we feel good. When the price is falling, why we feel terrible, and of course, it affects our psychology. So that's the reason they are manipulating the stock market. Because if it really ever started to fall, it would just fall like a rock, and they don't want that to happen, at least not yet. Although I suspect down the line they will. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Melody or a comment about what's going on financially, we'd love to hear from you. But more and more people in the manufacturing business are losing their jobs. A large number of people who are working for financial corporations or loan companies or in real estate or in construction are losing their jobs. Construction, the rate of construction has fallen dramatically. And, of course, home sales, even where I live, why, of course, one of the most desirable places in the country, the price of homes has not fallen. But, of course, if you count the number of for sale signs out as I drive up towards my home, I notice there's a trailer park there, a mobile home park, and there used to be three or four signs out in front of mobile homes for sale. Now there are eight, and nothing's moving. In fact, right across the road is another for sale sign, and you're seeing all across the country more and more for sale signs going up and just sitting there because people are not buying. I mean, the money's there. They can borrow the money, but people are uneasy. People know something's seriously wrong, and so much of what happens in the market, financial market, stock market, the economy, is how people feel about it. Have you run into that, Melody?
Absolutely, and around here in central Pennsylvania, we mentioned it many times in this program, it's a college town, and a lot of money is funneled into this area and through Harrisburg. But there are more and more for sale signs beginning to appear, and foreclosures across this country are, I believe the foreclosure filings are up close to 70% in November over the same time period last year. And most all states are seeing an increase in foreclosure filings over this past year. So the trend is certainly not very rosy, where people are losing their homes. They're not finding buyers for their homes. So the situation is going to continue to erode. So we're seeing a little bit of that here in Pennsylvania, but still not to the degree that I'm surprised that it has held up as much as it has. But usually when something like that is held up, you know, the day does come where it finally catches up.
Well, people have to understand how this whole scam works. Basically, the government has a major war. And the government has not raised taxes to pay for the war. In fact, the government has actually cut taxes. Well, then, of course, how do they finance the war? Well, they simply appropriate the money. But if you look at the budget, you find out that they don't put the massive amounts of money that they are appropriating for the war on the budget. That's known as off budget. We're talking about, you know, suddenly a 3 or 4 $100 billion, a couple of $100 billion anyway, every year for the war, and the money is not on the budget. So what you do is you borrow the money to pay for the war. And the American people are totally oblivious of that. They don't understand these budget concepts. They don't understand that the budget, the federal debt of the United States is over $9 trillion. And this is never going to be repaid. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're just saying that we're paying for the war by borrowing money. They did that with the Vietnam War. They did it with this war. Why? Because if they raise the taxes, people would not want to support the war. But as long as it doesn't hurt you, it's not your son or your daughter that's going over there to die. As long as it's not costing you money and they're raising your taxes, the best way to get people to love you is to cut taxes and increase spending, which is exactly what the current administration has done, and then borrow from future generations, from our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, money that will never be repaid. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and we're talking about what's going on financially, and, of course, the average American has no grasp. It doesn't understand that inflation is rising. They know things are costing more money, but they don't realize that inflation destroys the productive nature, the productive capacity of a nation. It not only raises prices, and of course remember the rising prices is not what produces inflation. What produces inflation is increasing the money supply. And as the Fed every week creates billions of new dollars, I mean, we're talking about probably close to $300 or $400 billion in this last month or so, in an effort to try to keep the economy going. Why? But they're not doing a very good job. Well, let's go to Peter, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan and Melody. Thank you, Stan. I'm sorry. Left out of the equation, of course, is the home equity loans. This is part of the nefarious plan where people use their homes as their personal savings account, propped up again, as you keep pointing out, by false appreciation. The appraisers are in on it. All the county, state, and local governments all are complicit in saying, why, sure, these homes that aren't worth the termites are eating the lumber. but we're happy to take them on the tax rolls. So let's not leave out everybody that is complicit within this scam.
Well, of course, everybody is complicit. The assessors were complicit. The people who are writing the loans were complicit. The people who are buying property they couldn't afford were complicit. Certainly the people who then who actually wrote the mortgages and then who put them into bundled them off together, and then the people who guaranteed that the collateralized debt obligations were valid. Hold there for just a minute, Peter. We'll be right back.
Of course.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. And before we go on, I hope Peter, who's on the line from Salinas, will stay with us. Again, let me put our telephone number out. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, Melody, before we go on, I want you to get out your website and your telephone number.
My telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if anybody would like to email me, we answer everyone's emails, and you can direct those to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Peter calling from Salinas, and if you're out there and you'd also like to give us a call, you have a question or comment, our number is 1 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Peter was talking about how suddenly people were using their homes as piggy banks. In other words, as the equity of the house increased, supposedly its value was increasing, then they could borrow more and more money on this. And they were, of course, they felt that their house was increasing in value, and so why shouldn't they take that money out and spend it? Well, of course, then as things, you know, begin to get to go from bad to worse, why, they find that they owe this tremendous amount of money on their home. And in many parts of the country, the values of homes are dropping. Now, not where I live right now, of course, the values are holding very well. But the houses are not selling in my area. In other words, the values of the homes, I think, have gone up maybe 1 or 2% this last year. But, of course, the homes are just sitting there. We live in certainly one of the most expensive parts of the entire country. I mean, the average home in the Santa Cruz area where I live is $770,000. That's the average home. That's not the big home up on top of the hill with a beautiful view. That's just the average home. And so this Santa Cruz, Monterey, Carmel, a very, very unique area to live. But certainly Peter is pointing out the complicity of all the people as far as the home loans were concerned. And certainly many people falsified their statement as far as their wealth was concerned, so they could buy a home that they couldn't afford. And then, of course, the people who sold them the homes were complicit because they knew these people couldn't afford it, but they wanted their commission. And then the people who issued the mortgages were complicit. And then certainly the people who appraised the homes were complicit. And then, of course, the people who put the mortgages into these bundles, these so-called collateralized debt obligations. And then the people who guaranteed those collateralized debt obligations as AAA, in other words, AAA rating meant that there's no question at all that the people who owe money on their homes are going to pay. And of course, knowing full well that a lot of these were homes that had been actually sold to subprime buyers. The buyers, you know, did not have good credit ratings, and they were probably going to default on their payments and down the line. And then, of course, a lot of the people had adjustable rate mortgages or these other types of mortgages where you don't have to put any money down, and all you do is pay the interest for a period of time. And so Peter sent me everybody is sort of responsible for getting into this mess, and it's all built upon greed. Isn't that true?
You know, Dr. Stan, that AAA rating, that's what they call lipstick you put on pigs.
Right.
and regardless of how much you put on, I don't think anybody wants to kiss that one. Melody, I hold you complicit in maintaining the value of gold and letting the rest of us know that, you know, you can go throughout history and all those weird acronyms, Dr. Stan, you were using the IRVs and MBAs and blah, blah, blah. You know, when I go all the way back to Egypt, gold keeps showing up.
Right.
Those derivatives and those other paper products, that's a really funny thing. You know what? They don't have any history.
And gold has a history going back almost 6,000 years.
That's right. Melody, thank you for what you're bringing to us, which is that really weird, strange thing called common sense. Go figure.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank
really appreciate
you.
Hearing you. God bless.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, Peter's absolutely right. I mean, gold has been accepted as a store of value for thousands of years. And when this whole house of cards comes down, there's going to have to be some store of value for the people. And even if we have to get into a barter situation, it would be great to have gold and silver to barter with so we could buy and sell. You have to have some means of bartering. And, of course, if you have a cow, why, it's pretty hard to barter with that cow. Maybe you could barter the milk, but you can't cut off a leg or something. And a cow is a pretty expensive thing, and so you've got to have somebody who has something comparable. And down through the ages, they've used seashells, they've used salt, they've used all sorts of different things to substitute for money, and they've always come back to gold and silver. And those of you who have not yet read Alan Greenspan's wonderful essay, Gold and Economic Freedom. You need to. Actually, it is. It is in my last two newsletters, the one that's already up on my site at RadioLiberty.com. The first half of his essay is there, and then, of course, the newsletter, which will be coming out before long. The second half of his essay is there. You need to read it. You need to read my estimate of it, because I will tell you, I sincerely believe that we are going to face terrible problems. Most of us may well lose everything we have. But because of the coming financial collapse, and I think it's coming, we may be able to hold off this move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader for a time. This could be as much suffering as it going to bring. One of the greatest things that ever happened to America. Well, let's go to David is calling from Spokane. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Doing fine.
I wanted to know, is it a smart idea to buy Kennedy House?
All right, fine. Melody, what would you say to David?
I think
I'm on a limited income, and that's probably all I can afford a little at a time.
All right. Well, what do you think? What about Kennedy House?
I think Kennedy Halves is a great thing to buy, but stay away from the uncirculated. You don't need to be purchasing uncirculated Kennedy Halves because you can buy just regular VG plus Kennedy Halves. And because the Kennedy Halves, they weren't in circulation very long. So even VG plus Kennedy Halves look brand new. So and most people can't tell the difference anyway. So save yourself some money on from those uncirculated coins. Buy yourself some VG Plus. You can even get some Ben Franklin's in there, even some Walking Liberties at the same price as the VG Plus.
Oh.
And really 90% should really only cost you a little bit over spot.
Okay.
And so it is a great way.
But have to remember that some of those Kennedy halves only had 40% silver in them, so what's the cutoff date where you get 90% silver, Melody?
The cutoff is 64.
64.
And then from 65 to 69, you have the 40% silver in there. The 40% silver is okay to buy, but when you go to sell it, it really has a weak bid price on it. So, you know, sometimes the 90% silver, the prices where silver is at now, it becomes a little too costly. So sometimes it even makes sense to buy some 40%. But before you buy it, know that it has a weak bid side.
Okay. Does that help you, David?
It helps a lot. Thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you so very much. Okay, let's go to Ron, who's calling from Richland. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. I haven't talked to you since last night.
Right, I know. I recognize you. So what can we do for you tonight?
Well,
do you have a question?
I just want to take issue with one of the things you said there, just to put things in perspective. I listened to a talk by the head of the Congressional Budget Office.
Right.
And he said we had something like $70 trillion in unfunded liabilities.
Right. Are you speaking of David Walker now?
I think so, yes, sir.
All right, fine.
And,
he is the chairman of the Office of Accountability. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, anyway, he said that we'll never pay this off.
Right.
That although the war is a tremendous amount of a drain financially, compared to some of these new giveaway programs that they keep passing, it's small. And these additional government freebies, somebody has to pay for those.
Right. Well, Chris,
and like
if you
the
just borrow them.
Prescription drug is $8 trillion that eclipsed the entire deficit.
Right.
And they got to get more and more. And with the promotion of very unhealthy lifestyles like sodomy, in fact, one of the schools up here, they had a scholarship for those who engage in it.
We live in a world gone mad, Ron, and there are only a few of us who are sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy.
Well, sane means that you follow the Lord.
Right.
And I heard Hillary Clinton was defending people who engage in philandering. And I thought, well, that's... You know, what could she do, you know, with what her husband did to her? But that's a vow not only to another person, but to God himself.
You're absolutely right.
And what you're talking about is honest weights and measures. We don't have honest weights and measures with our currency.
You're absolutely right. We have nothing behind our currency other than the integrity of our of Bill Fitton.
Well, that's, and it's really sad, but, you know, it gets down to us, the people.
Well, you see,
I could badmouth Bush and Clinton and all those guys, but we're to blame.
All right. Well, you're, in many respects, you're right, because the American people have allowed this. We love it when the economy's good. We love it when the stock market's going up. We love it when there are lots of jobs and the, certainly the value of our homes are going up. And we honestly think that we're getting rich. And we don't understand that there's a law of gravity, and whatever goes up is eventually going to come down. But I fear it's going to come down with terrible consequences.
Well,
anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, you can't take it with you.
Amen.
And our treasures are in heaven.
Amen.
Where they can't, inflation's not going to get to it, and the communists and the thieves and all these other guys. And that's where we ought to, we're here, we ought to help our neighbors and such and take care of ourselves. But ultimately, we should be following the Lord. And righteousness exalts a nation, sins a reproach to any people. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Okay.
That's what Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount.
Amen to that. Thanks very much, Ron.
Merry
Christmas to you, too. And Ron is absolutely right. I mean, we have to realize we're involved in a spiritual battle. And it's interesting to see what's happening financially. It's important for you to know so you can prepare and do the best you can. But in the final analysis, we may lose everything, and the one thing we will have is our relationship with the Lord. On the other hand, I would be derelict if I didn't encourage people to make the preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. But also I'd be derelict if I didn't point them out that this is really a spiritual battle being fought on a financial battlefield. And if we don't understand that, why, of course, we lose financially, why, we would have no hope at all. But our hope does rest in the Lord. Melody, what would you think about that?
You know, we live in a time where right is wrong and wrong is right. Excuse me. And everything is out of balance. You know, and it is a spiritual battle. We call it politics, but it is a lot deeper than that. It is spiritual. It is. And so we talk about the people who aren't awake, who don't understand, and that's all part of it. They are asleep to what is. They've fallen into the materialism of the world, so to speak, to where they are blinded by, and they don't understand. And, you know, they are conditioned, you know, through the modes of television and mainstream radio and so many times, like even questioning myself, why are there only so few of us that really know what's going on? Or maybe there is more than what we believe there is. So it's certainly you do need to prepare first spiritually, and then also while we're here, we need to prepare so we can take care of our families and plus those who are not as fortunate.
Amen to that, and I certainly think that we have to do both. We have to work as if it's up to us and pray as if it's up to God and wait upon what he is going to do. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I think this is going to be one of the most amazing years. 2008, I think, will be probably one of the most amazing years we've ever lived through. I shudder when I think what's going on over there in Iraq, and that the war is going to continue, and we're never going to pull our troops out of there. We're not trying to win the war. We're not doing any of the correct things, and those of you who get our newsletter will certainly want to read the speech that was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who was the commander in Iraq for 3 terrible years. And it's, you almost want to cry when you read his speech. You will never find it. I mean, it took me 3 hours on the internet to track it down, and then, of course, the text I got was totally unreadable and unusable. But at least the words are there, the sentiment is there, the pathos is there, the tragedy is there, as he tries to tell the American people what's really going on from the commander of the American forces. in Iraq for 3 years. Well, let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Spokane. And essentially, that'll be the January newsletter. And if you don't subscribe to the Radio Liberty newsletter, shame on you, but you can get it for nothing on the internet at RadioLiberty.com. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I've been listening to you for a while now, and, you know, I have to say this. I used to think that you're kind of crazy.
All right.
Now I'm realizing that you're right, and everybody else is crazy.
Well, you know, I've heard that so many times, you know. I remember one time I was in the doctor's room with three doctors. One of them was just a new doctor in town, and in fact, he's our producer here on Wednesday evening now, 40 years later, but... You know, after I left the room, we'd been talking about politics, he turned to these other two surgeons, and he said, is that guy crazy? And Doug Persons said, well, we used to think he was crazy, but now we're afraid he's not. And so all we can do is keep doing what we're doing, Jeff, and I'm glad you come around to the point where you realize that the message is so accurate, but
yeah,
people's minds... Go ahead.
I hear the music, but I do have a question about CDOs. Do we need to wait?
All right, fine. Well, we'll take it. We've got a couple of minutes there while there's a commercials, and we'll talk to you while there's commercials. But
okay, very good.
You hang on. You just hang on there. We'll get to your question in just a moment.
Okay.
Anyway, our guest is Melody Cederstrom. Melody, one more time, your telephone number.
800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, Jeff, what's your question?
Well, I've got a pretty decent amount of money in some 403Bs and things like that, and I have it allocated in mostly European investments, euros and things like that, but the more I'm listening to you and Dr. Larry Bates, I hear about these CDOs have been bundled and sent to Europe and purchased by European banks, and how would I know if the fund I have has a bunch of these CDOs in there?
Well, what would you tell them, Melody?
You can do your research, but I doubt if, I'm not quite sure if you would be able to find if your fund is tied to the CDOs.
And I think Melody's absolutely right. You can't find out because a lot of the hedge funds don't know.
They don't know.
Nobody knows. This is what's so what's the problem is that the banks don't trust the one another because nobody knows how much many of these... ABSs or SIVs or CDOs they have, and a lot of these major banks, and we're talking about the major banks over there, are insolvent, and certainly if they've been writing derivatives, they're insolvent. That's the big problem. So what you want to do is you want to diversify. You want to get some of your money into gold and silver, even if you have to, you take some of the money out and pay the income tax on it. But diversify, and cover every base. That's all you can do.
You know, I'm working on that, too. I guess my next question is I've got about 90 to 100 ounces of gold in two separate precious metals IRAs. Bought the gold between $450 and $550 an ounce. And that's okay, right?
Well, what do you think about that, Melody?
Well, IRAs are okay if you have funds that you can't get to and you need to take it out of paper and put it into where you can at least purchase some gold and silver and you can have it in storage. But the number one rule, if at all possible, you need to take possession of your gold and silver.
You're right. It was in the 403B, so I really couldn't take it out without taking the big hit on the taxes on it. So I transferred over, maybe 25% of our... or, you know, something like that, and did it in a precious metals IRA. And I am buying silver, stocking lots of that to have hands on just in case, like I believe you said, if I had to barter with a little bit, I would have some old Morgan silvers and things like that.
But be sure you have some of the things in your own possession. I mean, even if you have to take a hit on some of it, at least some of it you want to have in your own possession. Because when this whole thing, House of Cards, comes down, you don't want to be caught in the rubble. We're out of time. Bye-bye, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. And Melody, I'm going to let you go. We'll give your telephone number one more time.
1-800-375-4188. And people, I've been hearing a lot where a lot of people are getting heavily overbalanced in silver versus gold. Folks, you need to have an 80% gold, 20% silver. You want stability. If you're looking to preserve your purchasing power and your wealth, you want it in gold, not silver. Silver is volatile, and you don't want to preserve your wealth with something that's volatile. You want stability.
Amen to that. Hey, well, God bless you. Thanks very much, Melody. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. And have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And, of course, remember that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we really depend upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. And if you believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield, and you want to help us maintain our situation, basically we're a bit off our short wave for a time, but we are going to try to get back on. We're going to be on WWCR starting the first of the year for our afternoon program, and WHRI for the first hour of the second program. We can't do the 2 hours, but we'll have two stations on the first hour, so we'll have excellent coverage if you are shortwave, and that'll start the 2nd of January as well. Well, under any circumstances, we certainly would hope that you'd go to our website of radioliberty.com, and you'd consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you've not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, because it will begin to introduce you to the secret societies, not imaginary, but very, very real secret societies that are operating in the United States today. You can go to the websites on some of these. The OTO is here. That was the one that was created by Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. The Lucis Trust is up there. The Rosicrucians are there, the Theosophists, and so many of the ancient secret societies are still operating today. So, and you can actually read what they say through the miracle of the Internet. These are people who worship a different God. And, of course, this gets back into the Gnostic beliefs. The Gnostics believe that there were two gods. There was the real God, and then there was the false God that's worshipped by the Christians and by the Jews. And they believe that their God will give them tremendous power and influence and wealth, and they're absolutely right. And you can tap into this other source and obtain the material blessings of this world, but unfortunately it's only in this world, and we're talking about eternity. And you need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret, and there's a syllabus for that. The Forbidden Secret. You certainly need to get our 4-tape set or 4-CD set on the supernatural. You need to get the books we carry on satanic crimes and the 4-tape set on satanic crimes. You need to get our 4-tape or 4-CD set on Satanism and Deliverance. The story of a woman who came from a satanic family, and they began abusing her at age 3, and her odyssey, her struggle to try to find out what had happened, because they'd implanted in her mind these ideas that none of this happened. And then, of course, when she was actually delivered from this terrible burden, and of course, they become friends with this family, and they will tell you. I remember the husband telling me, sitting in his living room as his wife is counseling somebody who's satanically possessed, and this man is levitating out of his chair. In other words, just sort of floating above the chair. This sort of thing really does go on. There is another dimension. You need to understand it, but of course you need to understand the danger of this as well. And there really are people affiliated with this other dimension who are working behind the scenes today in our political system. You need to get my talk on The Forbidden Secret. You need to get the 4-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Dr. David Kennedy, who's a dentist, is retired now, but he's really on the front lines of trying to convince the American people that they're being poisoned with water fluoridation. And, of course, it's really very true. The average American said that can't be true. That's a conspiracy theory. All these people, oh, they're telling you it's the communists are behind this. And I will tell you, the communists use this, but they're not behind it here in the United States. The people who are behind it here in the United States are the people who are affiliated with the other dimension. And basically, they believe there are too many people in the world. We need to limit population, and certainly fluoride is an excellent fertility control device. It is also an excellent means of dulling people's minds so that they do not think and think clearly. It has a profound impact on our thyroid, on our bones. It increases the incidence of cancer. Why would you put something like that into our water supply? Well, it all goes back into the 1950s when certainly the U.S. Public Health Service, working in conjunction with the division that was working to build the atom bomb, and this had to do with the nuclear organizations working for our government, had to get rid of the fluoride that was a byproduct of the enrichment of uranium. And, of course, what they decided was the best way to get rid of this fluoride, which was so toxic, it was difficult to handle and to bury, and you couldn't dispose of it any other way. Why don't we just go ahead and put it in the water supply? And the U.S. Public Health Service hired a man named Edward Bernay, who was, of course, Sigmund Freud's nephew, to actually sell the American people on the fact that we would prevent dental caries in children by poisoning the entire population. And as incredible as it may seem, that's exactly what happened. Edward Bernay was hired by the American tobacco company, Lucky Strikes, to convince women they should smoke, and by all sorts of the use of certainly of slogans like use a smoke, not a sweet, or, you know, the use of motion pictures, or certainly pictures in magazines, to get women to smoke, and millions of women have died because of Edward Bernay and his propaganda program to get women to use tobacco and destroy their immune system and, of course, lead to cancer. And millions of women have died of cancer of the lung because of Edward Bernay, but I fear that probably tens of millions, if not more, are going to have died or will die because of his propaganda program to get us to be willing to accept the idea that we want to poison everybody in America because, of course, water fluoridation will prevent dental caries in children, only in children, not in adults, but in children. With that as the background, Dr. David Kennedy, thank you very much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, you just go ahead and you do the talking, and I'll be quiet for a while.
Well, you know, it's been a long, long road, but now in the 2007, we now have actually 8 January, the Scientific American, which is a journal that is touted as being a scientific journal, has finally come out with a review of the National Academies of Science. There's some errors in it, but basically they say, could be you're getting too much fluoride, and you know, at least now it's finally in the mainstream, and they go through some of the evidence showing that, you know, there's bone damage. The National Academy of Science linked the osteosarcoma, a rare form of bone cancer.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. And so bone cancer and And, you know, one of the things that is proof positive that you're poisoning the children is a thing called dental fluorosis. And dental fluorosis now is almost 50% of the children have like two teeth damaged to the point where it's visible in fluoridated communities. And that's because of the dose of fluoride from all sources. And these are the children that are bottle fed primarily. Is that breast milk, human breast milk, has almost no fluoride. And actually any animal has almost no fluoride unless you're giving it antibiotics like cow's milk with Cipro. But anyway, the human breast milk has almost no fluoride, so the baby's protected from that. Well, some mothers have to work. So they've done a study where they've separated out the children with dental fluorosis and found that those were the children that were bottle-fed in fluoridated communities. And so if you make up the baby bottle formula with tap water, you're poisoning the baby. And there's a real beautiful discussion of that before the Metropolitan Water District in Southern California. Dr. Thiessen and myself, there were actually about 40 citizens went there, and I put Dr. Thiessen and myself on YouTube under Poison Babies, and she goes through in excruciatingly detailed information about why that poisons the baby, and it's called the dose. The amount of fluoride the child consumes from the baby bottle is a five times more than is known to cause harm of a healthy baby, and it's 50 times more than the level that will harm an infant that's deficient in iodine. And I was just reading an article today about iodine, which is an essential nutrient. You have to have that. And that about 75 to 90% of the people tested don't have enough iodine. And what fluoride does, it just sucks the iodine out of your system, is that it counteracts the effects of iodine, and so you end up with all the effects of not having enough iodine, such as, you know, cancer, obesity, cardiovascular disease. And so many of the diseases of fluoride are actually very similar to the diseases of a deficiency in iodine. There are even cases of goiter where people have a normal iodine intake and too much fluoride, so they end up with goiter. You know, fluoride was used in the 20s and 30s in a bath to destroy the thyroid. If your thyroid was too active, they, you know, threw a little fluoride in the bath water, and then you sat in the bath for 30 minutes, and it destroyed your thyroid. Well, how is that any different than municipal water supplies today? Fluoride goes directly through the skin. The skin is the largest organ in the human body, and fluoride goes right through it.
Hold that thought. David will be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Dr. Kennedy is pointing out that fluoride will destroy your thyroid. Fluoride will produce cancer in bones in young children. Fluoride, of course, it decreases fertility, lowers intelligence, impacts on the endocrine system. I mean, fluoride is a deadly poison. So why are they putting it in the water system? Well, it certainly has nothing to do with helping the children with their, you know, preventing caries, because, of course, the studies show that it really doesn't do that much, it doesn't do any good. But they can't let the American people know that they're poisoning them, and so they, the American Dental Association, the American Medical Association, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Centers for Disease Control are conspiring to conceal the truth from the American people. And that's why this recent article in the Scientific American January issue is so important, because it questions if people are getting too much fluoride. Now, it doesn't tell you the whole story. We've got a wonderful book called Fluoride That Does, but you need to understand that they're poisoning your children. And certainly, if you'd like to know what the scientists who work for the Environmental Protection Agency really feel, you need to go to the website of the Union of the Scientists who work for the EPA, the scientists, the lawyers, the technicians who work for the Environmental Protection Agency. The website, and I want you to get out your pen and pencil and take notes, www.NTEU280.org. That's www.NTEU. It stands for National Treasury Employees Union.org. NTEU280.org. Go there, pull down that website in its entirety, read it, and understand that the scientists who work for the EPA have been trying frantically to get the truth out to the American people. and have been effectively blocked by the controlled media, because the media is controlled, and by the CDC, and by the criminals who head the Environmental Protection Agency, whose job is not to protect your health, but to destroy your health. And then, of course, the leaders of the ADA and the AMA. And certainly they're not all bad people. But, of course, the bad people are there, and they're influencing the good people and concealing the dangers of fluoride, which were well known 50 years ago, 75 years ago, and are little known today, because there's an organized effort to conceal the truth from the American people. And you can go to Europe, and you'll find almost no country other than Ireland, a small area in Great Britain, 10%. Fluoridate the water. The rest of the countries there wouldn't consider putting a poison into the water, and don't understand why we want to do that here. But you go ahead, David.
Well, we're doing it here because our government is controlled by industry, and industry has tons and tons of this stuff to get rid of because of the production of nuclear weapons, as you mentioned. The phosphate fertilizer industry is part and parcel of that. They have three byproducts of extracting uranium from phosphate ore, hydrofluorophosphic acid, gypsum, and phosphate. And so they tell the farmers that phosphate's good for the plant, makes it grow up really big and juicy and tasteless. So you have those tomatoes, you know, that are now as big as grapefruit and don't taste like anything. Well, the phosphate does that. The gypsum, we put two pieces of paper on either side, and we call it drywall. And then the other stuff is a potpourri of arsenic, lead, cadmium, and sand, silica.
And don't forget the polonium-20, too.
Polonium, yeah, well, the stuff that the Russians killed the guy with, yes. There are radioactive isotopes in it, actually a bunch of them. And then hydrofluorophosphic acid. So when they say we're fluoridating the water, the next question that should come out of everybody's mouth is, what are you using in the form of a chemical for the water supply? And they'll answer in 91% of the cities that they're using sodium silicate fluoride, hydrofluorophosphic acid, or just silicate fluoride. And that, interesting, in the congressional investigation that Jeff Green got going with the help of Ken Calvert in 1999 through 2001, is that when they asked the EPA for studies of silicate fluoride, they replied that they were unable to find any.
In other words, what they're putting in your drinking water, they've never tested. How can they possibly do that? What happens if it's dangerous and killing people? And the trouble is, it is dangerous and it is killing people, but they can't let the American people know that they've destroyed their drinking water. And of course, what we've got to do is stop them poisoning our people, because it affects their minds, that they can't think clearly. And it's not simply by accident that one out of every six American children has some sort of a learning disability.
Well, we're way in deep into the cover-up phase now. Is that their heads should roll? People should be punished. I think there's criminal activity. Ethics complaints have been filed with the Center for Disease Control for their continued promotion of water fluoridation in the light of the current scientific evidence that it's causing disproportionate harm. Is that when you put fluoride in the water, you're not putting fluoride in the water. You're putting hydrofluorophosphic acid in the water. That's a very different animal. And what it does is it causes the blood level of lead to skyrocket in these children, and that it causes it to go up much higher in the people who are lactose intolerant or malnourished or have some other source of exposure to lead. Not necessarily that it doesn't go into their bodies if they're drinking good water, but if they're drinking hydrofluorophosphic acid, then if you happen to live in an old house, that hydrofluorophosphic acid extracts the lead from the solder joints in the water pipe and takes it into the kids. A six-fold increase in the number of black children that had blood levels of lead above 10 micrograms per deciliter. And remember, 10 micrograms per deciliter was the level that is shown to reduce IQ by 5 points. So instead of being an average intelligence of 100, they're 95. You don't want to be 95 in this world today. You have trouble running your cell phone, you know? And so this is making people violent. It's making them have learning disorders. It causes reading disorders where they can't focus their eyes. And so it's costing society hundreds of billions of dollars to try to educate these children who can't be educated. Their brains are damaged. And so Roger Masters, who did all the work on the epidemiology on the silica fluoride in water supplies, over 400,000 children, and that he showed that not only does the blood level of lead go up, is that the crime goes up. So if you like to live in a city where people drive by and shoot each other for minor traffic infractions or you know, wearing the wrong color of clothing to school or something like that, that's what you get, is that if you make the children stupid and violent. Go ahead. Go home. Buy your own self some water that doesn't have fluoride in it and be sure and get some bars for the outside of your house. And get that bulletproof window, too, while you're at it. Because just go ahead and brick it up, because you're going to live in a place where you don't want to live. I'm old enough to remember we didn't have locks on the doors when I was a kid growing up. I wasn't a latchkey kid. You know, you walked home from school and walked in the house. There wasn't any crime where I grew up. And that's the trouble, is that if you poison the children, make them stupid and violent, you end up in a country that has crime on every street corner. You have the population, what do we have, 2 million people locked up in jail?
We have 2 million locked up in jail, but we have 7 million in prison, probation, or parole. So there's over about 2.2...
And about another 7 million they're looking for.
Right, and people do not understand what Roger Masters of Dartmouth University is primarily interested in, the impact of toxic metals on the brains. And so we actually have an interview with him and with Dr. David Conant as well, who of course has done research on this subject. But my interview with Roger Masters of Dartmouth, I think, is so vitally important. His whole theme was, look, if in the areas where they have hydrofluosilicic acid put into the water supply, the incidence of lead in the blood of children, of white children, doubles. The incidence of lead in the blood of Hispanic children goes up 4 times, and the incidence of lead in the blood of black children goes up 6 times. So the higher the blood level, the more raids, the more violence, the more criminal activity. And of course, Dr. Masters was concerned about criminal activity. And of course, this is the one thing that you're never going to hear. They actually tested over 450,000 children. Dr. Masters did not do that, but there had been other studies that had actually done that. And of course, when they pointed out this was directly related to the hydrofluosilicic acid, they said, oh, well, finger stiffs are not valid. You should have done it intravenously, taking the IV blood. So that's what they did, and they repeated it, not 450,000, but they repeated enough to verify the high lead level. And they know this. They know this in Washington, D.C., and they're allowing this, and it's destroying the brains of our black children. And you wonder why some of them are different, and why they have a different attitude, and why so many of them get involved in crime, and why there's such a disproportionate number of blacks in prison in our gulag today. And remember, in America today, we have far more people incarcerated proportionally than they do in communist China. Over 2.2 million Americans in prison, 7 million Americans in prison, probation, and parole. And a lot of those people are there because of the lead poisoning, the lead encephalopathy that has been generated by our public health programs. Because there really is, on the part of certain of the people, an intense hatred of blacks. And where is Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton when we really need them? Go ahead there, David.
Yes, I'm waiting for the phone to ring here from the people in the community that are willing to help us fight this, because that's what we're going to have to do. You got to step up and make it happen. Is that they're not going to quit doing this if we just sit back and relax. You got to tell them that there's a lot more of us than there are of them, and they got to stop poisoning the kids. They got to stop it today. You know what it cost? It cost about 15 cents to have the guy walk over and turn the switch off. So it saved hundreds of millions of dollars and thousands of lives.
And these helpless children are being poisoned all across America today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. This is real. We've got the documentation. Roger Masters at Dartmouth, you can look him up on the internet, or we'll provide you the information. Dr. Conant, former professor of chemistry, fluoridealert.org. We'll be right back. Well, go ahead, David.
Well, you know, if people sit back and relax and just wait, it's coming to their community, even if you don't have it yet. 46 out of the 50 largest cities in the United States have already been attacked by some program to push fluoride. And they lie, and that they always get the question where no means maybe means yes. And so if you say, no, I don't want fluoride in the water, you get it anyway. California is an example of that. We've had 70 different votes in California rejecting fluoridation, and then the infinite wisdom of our legislators in Sacramento, they passed a mandatory fluoridation bill that says if your water company had 10,000 connections, then somebody else supplied the money that they had to put fluoride in the water. Well, they already had a gift of funds from the people generating the hydrofluorosilicic acid. Tom Reeves had told them at their meeting that he can get 100% of the funding for the equipment to inject fluoride in the water supply. That's exactly like going down to the junkie on the street corner selling methamphetamine or heroin. He'll be glad to give you a syringe, and you just got to buy the heroin. And so these communities go in and say, oh, look how cheap this stuff is. They'll put the equipment in for us so we can inject hydrofluorosilicic acid into our water supply. And that's exactly what's happening throughout California. We've blocked it in a number of communities by passing the Safe Drinking Water Ordinance, which says nothing can be added to the water supply to medicate the population that hasn't been approved by the Food and Drug Administration for the full range of dose the user would experience. And furthermore, the actual substance may not be contaminated with anything above the public health goals. And there are three different things in that that stop the addition of fluoride in the water supply. For one thing, you notice it didn't have the word fluoride. It didn't contain the word, because the Food and Drug Administration has never approved any fluoride-containing substance intended to be ingested or swallowed for the purpose of reducing tooth decay. So they've rejected 35 applications for fluoride vitamins and tablets. So first off, it's not FDA approved. Two, the actual substance is contaminated with arsenic, lead, cadmium, and a potpourri of other things. And even if you did like fluoride, that you go to the American Medical Association, American Dental Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, every major medical association in the world, if they recommend fluoride at all, tell you absolutely no fluoride for an infant. So if you live in a fluoride community and you're using fluoride in the baby bottle, you're poisoning the baby. There's just no doubt about it. You can look at the dose. You're giving the baby about 0.25 milligrams per kilogram, and 0.05 will do it. Think of it in terms of money. If 5 cents is harmful to the baby, you're giving the baby a quarter, and that's five times as big as 5 cents. So, if one is bad, five is a lot worse, and that's why they have dental fluorosis, is the dose that they get of fluoride from the drinking water and the baby food is way above the level that's known to cause harm. And maybe you're a good mom, you're going to go to the store and you're going to buy baby water by Gerber's. Well, it's got exactly the same amount of fluoride in it as the tap water. So, you know, how did they get away with that? It's incredible, the lack of behavior on the part of industry. This is a baby food manufacturer that is kowtowing to industry and putting sodium fluoride in their baby water. But at least they tell you. I've traveled across the United States 20, 30 times in the last few years helping communities fight the fluoridation in their communities. And a lot of times, you know, you go into a community, you say...
Hold up there for just a moment, David. Oh, we'll sure. Be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. David Kennedy. And David was talking about how he has gone across the country a number of times, you know, going to various communities to help them fight the off this effort to put a poison into the drinking water. Go ahead, David.
And, you know, you go into a restaurant or a place of business and you ask them, did you have fluoride in the water supply? And I have seldom got a correct answer. They either don't know, or they think it is and it isn't, or they think it isn't and it is. I mean, you know, it's like it's the silent poisoning of America. Is it so many people... Oh, that's good for you, right? And, you know, they have no idea. Well, read the toothpaste tube. It says, keep out of reach of children. If they're not used in brushing or swallowed, call the Poison Control Center. So, you know, it's only approved for topical use, and that means, like sunblock, you're not supposed to drink it. you'd think I was crazy if I said, here, drink this sunblock. It's probably going to reduce your sunburn. You'd think, that guy, he's far out. And that's exactly what the trouble with fluoridation is it gives you a systemic dose of a well-known poison that has no benefit, but it does have demonstrable harm. And you can see that. Just have the kids brush their teeth real good and then smile at you. And if they got these little white specks on their teeth, that was an overdose of fluoride. And that's caused by total exposure from all sources. Swallowed toothpaste. The advocates for fluoridation like to blame the kid. Oh, he swallowed the toothpaste. Well, who said to put fluoride in it? You know, oh, he must have eaten too many of those bowls of Wheaties. Because Wheaties made in Battle Creek, Michigan, has about 10 parts per million fluoride in it. So if you eat one of those kind of cereals that's made in a fluoridated community, then you're going to get a big dose of fluoride off your cereal. That almost every, in the Scientific American article we started this discussion with, that they've gone through and actually measured the level of fluoride in lots of stuff. And legally, it can actually be higher than they're measuring. But, you know, it's, 2.3 parts per million in raisins. There's about 4 parts per million in tea. And you know, there's a thing in the scientific literature about a lady in Independence, Missouri, who was crippled by drinking Lipton instant iced tea. Well, tea is high, and then she just happened to like it. You know, it gets kind of hot in Independence, Missouri, so that was her beverage. So instead of drinking good water, she drank instant iced tea. But you can, a potato, the outside of a potato can be up to 22 parts per million. You know, my mom always told me to eat the skin on the potatoes. Well, they allow such high pesticides that the outside of the potato will poison you. The inside is 2 parts per million. So it's just ridiculous the amount of fluoride that Americans are being exposed to. And that is why all the new studies are coming out showing that America, by and large, is deficient in iodine. Is that when you take in too much fluoride in your body, it sucks the iodine out. And so the antidote to fluoride poisoning is calcium, magnesium, vitamin C, selenium, and iodine. So if you think you're fluoride poisoned, stop by a health food store and pick up some calcium and magnesium, vitamin C, iodine, and selenium. Selenium is about 200 micrograms. And selenium also, for some very strange reason, that seems to prevent cancer. So, you know, that's a good thing. If you take too much, you'll get too much selenium.
In fact, we have an excellent 4-tape set on iodine. We have an excellent article on iodine, and of course we suggest iodorol, which is an excellent source of iodine. But we'll give you, because most Americans are deficient in iodine, iodorol is an excellent solution to that problem. And maybe people can just call us at 1-800-544-8927 if they'd like information on iodine deficiency, because most Americans are deficient in that, and that'll tend to counteract the effect there of the fluoride. The fluoride will certainly pull the iodine out, and then you get fluoride poisoning.
You know, but you're the physician, but you know, tell them all the things that iodine deficiency causes. You know, besides goiter, that's where your neck gets to looking like a turkey.
Oh, of course, it predisposes women to fibrocystic disease of the breast, to cancer of the breast, men to suddenly cancer of the prostate. And Sydney, of course, you know, if you have adequate iodine, why you're not going to feel the cold. Your thyroid's going to function much more efficiently. But it is an amazing drug, and most Americans are deficient in iodine.
Yeah, it's an amazing nutrient, and get it at your health food store and take lots of it. It won't hurt you.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy. And if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. I think it's vitally important that the average American really understands that they're poisoning our children. And there's some people, of course, have no idea what they're doing. Others know exactly what they're doing, but they don't want you to know. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, David, you go ahead and pick the story up there.
Yes, and I was reading an article just today about iodine, and the iodine and fluoride are, if you look at the periodic chart, they're right next to each other. And that what it is iodine actually is displaced by fluoride. And that when you start taking large amounts of iodine, you end up displacing the other halogens, the bromine and the fluoride, and that you actually can get a reaction to it. Somebody says, oh, I'm allergic to iodine. Well, no, you're not. What happens is if you get enough iodine, you start pushing these other poisons out of your body, and you react to them. It's called the Herxheimer's response, and that the antidote to that is sea salt. And that was one of the things that they'd found is that if they, Sherry Tenpenny has a wonderful lecture on that she gave at the American Academy for the Advancement of Medicine the other day, and that she was talking about using sea salt as the antidote to bromine poisoning while you're taking iodine. And she just kept them, keep taking iodine, have a little reaction to it, and once they get all the bromine out of their body, they get well, and then they don't react to the iodine. So some people think they react to iodine. They're actually reacting to the stuff that the iodine is knocking off of all the stuff. Every cell in the human body needs iodine. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting nutrient story for people. Thyroid. If you don't have a functioning thyroid or your thyroid's under-functioning, you end up with cardiovascular disease. I mean, has anybody noticed that there's been a tremendous increase in cardiovascular disease since they began to fluoridate the water supplies in the United States? How about cancer? Yes, that's another thing that happens. So there's a whole host of things that go on in the body that the thyroid controls. And so in order for thyroxine, the hormone made by the thyroid, to work, it has to have a molecule of iodine. Well, if it's got a molecule of fluoride instead of iodine, the thyroid's just working its little tail off, and it makes thyroxine that doesn't work. It's got iodine in there, it works fine. If it's got fluoride in there, it doesn't work at all. And you've talked on your program previously, Dr. Stan, about Jennifer Luke showing that melatonin, which is the hormone that's made by the pineal gland, she showed in animals and humans that when they're exposed to fluoride, that the pineal gland calcifies. It actually builds up a mineral that is the same as the enamel on your teeth. It develops calcium hydroxyapatite, and if you take your finger and tap on the front of your teeth, that's what that enamel is made out of, calcium hydroxyapatite. Well, it's a gland that sits in the brain, but outside the blood-brain barrier, and that it calcifies if you're exposed to high fluoride. What that does, it triggers early onset of puberty, but it also is linked to higher rates of breast cancer. And as you very correctly pointed out, ductal cancer in women is definitely a possibility.
Hold that thought, David. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now let's go to Barbara, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Barbara, did you have a question?
Not so much a question. It's just something that I have thought of, you know, over a period of time when they talk about putting fluoride in the water. They just put it in the water. So you have it's a standard amount. What happens? You have an adult who drinks X amount of water. You have a child who drinks that same amount of water. So you're getting, a child who's getting an adult dosage of fluoride. Now, what would happen to a doctor if he was caught prescribing an adult dose of a medication for a child? I mean, this is amount to malpractice. So, and what does Dr. Kennedy think about this? I mean, you're over medicating a child.
How do you feel about that? Because certainly, the children, some of them drink a lot of water, and of course, they're getting extremely high doses of toxic fluoride.
Well, exactly. My presentation before the Metropolitan Water District, I said that if any licensed physician or dentist were to prescribe the amount of fluoride for an infant, that a child on a baby bottle made up of the tap water is going to receive, they would be guilty of gross malpractice. And that they could explain to the jury why these children are going to have funny-looking spotted teeth, because that is the same as, you know, if I stuck arsenic in your soup and you developed skin cancer or one of the arsenic-related diseases. It's no different. We have water suppliers putting a medication in the water supply. And It's not approved for anybody to be taking it systemically by the FDA, so how are they getting away with that? Only get away with that if, unlike the citizens of Santa Cruz, the rest of the nation just kind of falls into a coma and and says, oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you know, you got to figure out what you're going to do because it's going to be up to you, and because nobody's going to do it for you. And that Santa Cruz passed the safe drinking water on this. The city of Santa Cruz said that they passed it barely, you know, by I think it's 3-2. And then the citizens didn't feel that comfortable because, you know, they can just have a vote next year and turn it the other way. And so they passed the safe drinking water ordinance and said, you know, hey, you can't do that. And that you have to have something that's approved by the FDA for the full range of dose. Nobody on this planet is recommending you dose an infant. So what Barbara's talking about is dose. Is that what they've been able to do is confuse people by saying, we're putting a very regulated amount of fluoride in the water supply. Well, that's wonderful, but you're not regulating the amount of water people drink. And so even if you love the stuff, the dose of fluoride that the advocates that love the stuff say between the ages of 6 months and 3 years of age is equivalent to one cup of fluoridated water. And so think about it. You know, it's summertime, your two-and-a-half-year-old's been out playing in the sun, and they come up to the door and says, Mommy, I'd like a glass of water. And you say, no, you had a cup of Minute Maid orange juice. Minute Maid is reconstituted with tap water that has fluoride in it, so you've had your daily dose of fluoride. So wait till tomorrow before you can have any more fluoride. And so you've basically condemned all the children that are dependent upon the community water supply to be overdosed, especially if they're on a baby bottle. Good point, Barbara. All of them are going to get overdosed because you just do the math. The alleged beneficial dose is 0.05 milligrams per kilogram, like a nickel, you know how you write money, and that the dose that the baby gets is like you'd like to write the money for a quarter, 0.25 milligrams per kilogram. So the baby's getting five times more than the allegedly beneficial dose, and the lowest dose that has been shown to be harmful is like half a penny, 0.005. So half a penny will harm an iodine deficient infant, and you're giving them a quarter. Well, that's 50 times what will harm an iodine deficient infant. And we've been talking already, Stan. 75 to 90% of this American citizens are iodine deficient. So yeah, it's not like if it's going to happen. Is that when are they going to fess up to the fact that they've caused an enormous amount of harm to our society?
Amen to that. Anything else, Barbara?
No, I just wanted to hear somebody confirm that what I was thinking was correct.
Okay, God bless. Let's go to Ken calling from Calabasas, California. And once again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Ken. Ken, where is Calabasas?
It's on the west side of Los Angeles County.
Okay, fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Comment followed by a question. I've learned something startling at a Calabasas City Council meeting recently about fluoride that I'd like your guest to comment on. Calabasas is served by the Las Virgenes Metropolitan Water District, I guess is their long name. And they have never added fluoride until this year, and the director of that department gave a presentation to the local city council this last month. And in it, he stated that one of the loopholes that operating under the regulations that they do as to why they have never added fluoride before was that at the end of the long regulation, it finished up by stating only if funds are available to implement. And he said there were never funds available to do it, so they didn't bother to do it, and they didn't worry about it. But this last year, the American Dental Association donated $5 million to Calabasas for the sole purpose of fluoridating their water. Suddenly there are funds available. Now they have to adhere to the law and add the fluoride.
And boy, what we ought to do is start picketing our dentists because they're contributing to the poisoning of our children. And, you know, if we use this approach, Ken, that they're poisoning our children, why do you want to poison the children? Ask it, you know, with real intensity. And then, of course, get that information at www.NTEU280. That's www.NTEU, National Treasury Employees Union 280.org. and get people to read it and understand the scientists are desperate to get the information out. They know they're poisoning our people. It is simply the hierarchy of the EPA that are intent upon destroying the lives of our children.
Yeah, I have to credit the manager of this department. He acknowledged in his report the possibility of staining children's teeth, of causing osteoporosis. But he said the bottom line is that they have to answer to the law, and it's now a state law that they have to add the fluoride because now the money is available. So my question to your guest is, where does the American Dental Association come up with $5 million to throw away like that?
Well, Ken, I can assure you it didn't come from the dentist. the money is actually, when the lawyers get through sorting out this very sordid story, they'll find that it's basically a process called money laundering. Is that industry that have this stuff to get rid of make donations to nonprofits that are managed by the California Dental Association and the California Fluoridation Task Force, and they manage those funds, and then they use the industry's money to buy the equipment so that you, the citizens of Calabasas, will be able to drink the hydrofluorosilicic acid. Now, I'm glad that your water treatment guy is telling you about the dental fluorosis and the osteoporosis is linked to it, but the question is, has he told the users of the water that? And the Metropolitan Water District has refused to tell the users of their water that using this water in a baby bottle, for example, will cause dental fluorosis.
And will cause but more than dental fluorosis. It damages the mind, it damages the endocrine system, it damages the bones, it predisposes to cancer. You know, I mean, this is a deadly poison. This
I know that, Dad, everybody, including the American Dental Association, if you go on the ADA website, it acknowledges that babies shouldn't be fed with a baby bottle made up of tap water.
Right.
So even the advocates for this horrible procedure are willing to admit on the website. Now, if you're a poor person, you know, do you suppose you're sitting there with a Pentium computer going on the website, you know, checking stuff out? No, of course not. You don't have that kind of capability. But they'll put it on their website so that the little rich kids can figure it out, but the poor people don't know. But I'm glad your water guy is a law-abiding person, because if he really is a law-abiding person, then he needs to get the public health department to furnish him the documentation that is required to have hydrofluorosilicic acid approved as a water additive. California has a law that says if you're a water provider, that you have to use only products that are certified American Water Works Association, ANSI, American National Standards Institute, Standard 60 is the fluoridation standard. So you have to have products that are certified legitimately by the American Water Works ANSI Standard 60. The congressional investigation in 1999, okay, this isn't new. 8 years ago, they asked for the certification of this product, and the American Water Works Association said, we don't have it. We don't have the toxicological data. That's a requirement. We don't have the list of contaminants. That's a requirement. And it also says if there's any contaminants in there that have the potential for causing harm, it cannot be a water additive. Well, you know what? There's arsenic in there. And they're saying, oh, it's just a little tiny bit, and then after we dilute it with 90,000 gallons of water, we can't measure it. Well, you don't have to dilute it with 90,000 gallons of water. That's like if somebody came up and stuck you with a needle and said, well, there might be AIDS in that needle. Well, let's check it. Well, let me throw it in this haystack first, and then we'll check the haystack. Well, that's a ridiculous statement. Well, that's what they do with the fluoridation chemicals. They want to dilute it with 90,000 gallons of water first, and then say, well, we can't find the needle. Oh, I see. But the product that they're adding to your water supply in Calabasas has never been legitimately certified. Yes, they have a piece of paper. They have a piece of paper that says ANSI Standard 60 approved. But the congressional investigation found out that piece of paper is phony.
Because so they're lying to the American people.
They certainly are.
It's about time, James, pardon me, Ken, that you help us get the information out. And of course, where can people go to get information, David? Where's a good source?
Well, the American Water Works Association Standard 60 and the congressional investigations on Jeff Green's website. It's called Keepers of the Well. That's Keepers, plural, K-E-E-P-E-R-S, of the well, .org. It's a nonprofit. And that Jeff got the thing. Actually, contact Jeff, because if you really do have a water supply guy that wants to provide water that's safe, then he needs to be talking to Jeff Green, and Jeff will show him how, without being anti-fluoride, without saying, even rejecting the funds, say thank you very much for the funds, you need to identify the substance we add to the water, and we'd like to have one that is adequately certified.
And, of course, keepersofthewell.org is the place, www.keepersofthewell.org. Hey, we're going to have to go on here. We've got other people waiting on the line. Anything else you want to say before we let you go, Ken?
Just if you could give us a direction of somebody to nag up in Sacramento, because this gentleman did stress that it is a state law he's dealing with. And
well, what we really need to do is get a whole flock of people going up there, begin picking the Senate, why do you want to poison the children? And then pass out the information.
I figured out who your legislator is right now, but work with Jeff Green. He'll help you. But, you know, it's, don't nag him. You have to inform him and educate him, because they're you know, going to do what, when they see that there's thousands of people outside their door saying, hey, what are you doing? They're going to pay attention. They don't pay attention to one person comes up and wears a funny hat and has a noisemaker.
Okay. We're going to have to run, but I call Jeff Green. He works at this full time.
Okay.
Goodbye, and let's go to Jane calling from West Sacramento. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hey, Jane, how are you doing?
Good. Good evening, gentlemen. Just a really quick, I was wondering, I don't know if I followed correctly the what you mentioned about the disproportionate number of people as different ethnic groups and how heavily this has affected the black community. And I'm just wondering, because, you know, my family, they weren't in a well-off community by any means, but, you know, it, obviously you're talking about the brain damage and everything like
talking
that.
Talking about the brain damage and the
personality damage. I'm just, this was in the 70s when we were growing up, but I just didn't know how that may have adversely affected, you know, how they did it. Was it just houses?
Or? Basically, it's the, if you, in a community where they put hydroflow silicic acid or silicic acid into the water supply, not just plain water fluoridation, but it has to be the hydroflow silicic acid. And if in those areas, there was a study that was done just checking the level of lead in the blood of children. And, of course, they found out that it doubled the level of lead in white children, increased the level of lead four times in Hispanic children, and almost six times in black children. Is that correct, Dr. Kennedy?
Yes, that's what Roger Masters found, yes. And just so you know, Sacramento is using hydrofluorosilicic acid. I heard that you were in Sacramento. And so they're using silica fluoride, and that's the substance that's doing this. It's a very strange and aggressive material. And that the byproduct of it is you end up with the children that are high lead level children, and that is not a benefit. But it causes what's called disproportionate harm. Is that if the child is malnourished, has a diet that, you know, maybe not be as well rounded and well balanced as it should be, that the harm is much greater. So where you see the most harm is in the very people that they allegedly are doing this to benefit. You see it in poor people, you see it in people that are malnourished, you see it in Native Americans, Asians, Hispanics, African Americans. All these people are not necessarily malnourished, but most of them are lactose intolerant. Is the antidote to fluoride, we just went through that a little bit ago, with calcium and magnesium. Well, where do you get calcium and magnesium? Well, that would be out of milk. So if you can't drink milk on a regular basis, then you are then, therefore, much more vulnerable to the effects of a poison that is antidoted with calcium. So that's the point.
Well, of course, what we're really talking about, though, is lead. That lead, of course, there's no safe level of lead. And
well,
lead, of course, poisons the brain. What, babe, pardon?
Can you filter it out?
No, you can't. I mean, you have no way to get that lead out. And what it is doing is creating an altered brain, so that these people then develop criminal tendencies, they become extremely angry, they fly into rages. It's all lead poisoning. They're poisoning our children, Jane. This is what we're trying to get out. This is what Dr. Roger Masters brought out. This is what David Kennedy is trying to let people know. is we're poisoning our children and destroying their minds.
Yeah, let me make a clarification, though, because it wasn't the lead in the water that went up.
It was the lead in the blood
of the children.
Right.
That's why you can't filter the lead out. It's not in the water.
It's in the blood.
This chemical, for some reason, extracts lead from whatever it touches. Would it be the pipes in older housing or there might be a trace amount of lead in the food. It extracts it from that food and takes it into the child. That's the problem.
Right, but the acid, you can't filter that out either, right?
Well, you can distill it. You have to basically spend, for your whole house, so you don't take a shower, you're going to spend, $3,000 to $10,000 to do your whole house. It's enormously expensive, but I would do it. I wouldn't take a bath in the stuff, but I would also spend my money on trying to save our nation.
And, of course, would you like to get your telephone number out, or where can people go? Because they want to help you with their loss that you're trying to bring.
We're 800-728-3833. We're going to have to...
One more time, get that number
800-728-3833.
And you're going to have to listen. We've done other programs with David. We'll be doing one tomorrow afternoon as well. Bye-bye, Jane. Thanks so much. Okay, David, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, let me start by saying that just as we wrapped up with Jane, is that you can't filter the stuff out. You can't get it out just by running it through a little carbon filter. I talked to a physician just today that thought he was removing fluoride with a carbon filter and had to explain to him that doesn't do it. You can get it out. The equipment is expensive. I would recommend that you do it if you live in a Florida community or move to one that doesn't have fluoride in the water or has a well. But that's protect your family first. And that's the old rule, and it's still a good one, is to protect your family first. And then once you've got your family safe, then go to work for your nation. Because it's going to take people like you, Dr. Stan, and me, and Jeff Green, and the rest of your listeners, and we're going to have to put our shoulder to the wheel. We can turn this thing. The science is solidly on our side. There is no question that we're damaging children. And so it's time for the people that care about this country to quit waving flags and reach in their pocket and start coughing up dollars. It's going to cost us $200,000 to take them on a constitutional complaint. We have a right to be safe in our own homes. If somebody's piping arsenic to your home, we've got a law against that in California. It's a constitutional complaint, so we can go to the U.S. Constitution and show how they're violating our Constitution. And that's going to cost, it's a fairly simple lawsuit, but if we win, they'll appeal. If they win, we'll appeal. So we have to go all the way through the appeals court. The attorneys have already spent $2 million of their own money taking it to the court in Escondido in a state court, and they lost. The state court said people aren't entitled to water that's safe to drink. They were willing to stipulate there's arsenic in the water from the fluoridation chemical, but we don't care, they said. You're not entitled to water that's safe to drink. So we've got to go around that. We've got to go through the federal court. So, and I'm saying, that we've spent an hour talking about how bad this stuff is, and I'm going to spend another 10 seconds, 20 seconds saying that if you agree with what Dr. Stan and I have discussed this evening, is that you are morally obligated as an American, as a patriot, to figure out some way that you can afford to help us stop this in a court of law, is that we're still a nation of laws, and that it will not stand the light of day. So if you can get it in front of a jury of 12 men and women, and you get the people up there trying to advocate it, in Escondido, they could not find one single qualified expert that was willing to testify. So they don't have the scientists. We have the scientists. And so we've got to get it in front of 12 men and women, and they're going to write a new chapter in the history of California. They're going to stop this. And if California does it, that we can use that tool, because that'll be a precedent, we can use that tool throughout the United States, and we can lower the crime rate. It'll take us 10 to 20 years to do that, but it will happen.
Hold that thought for just... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David Kennedy is working with a group with lawyers trying to get a case into the federal court, and if they have to, they'll take it to the Supreme Court. If we can get a jury of people to hear this story... why they will realize that they're poisoning the children. And so if you want to give a hand, call 800-728-3833. That's 800-728-3833. They're going to have to raise a couple of $100,000 to take the case to the Supreme Court. Is that the right number to call, David?
That's a good number. And but think about it. If it costs you $10,000 to do your house, and we divide $10,000, that means the next 20 people that are going to do their house You just put the similar amount of money aside, and then we can do the entire state, and then that will actually end up building the entire nation. So it's merely your duty, and that's what I feel. That's why I've spent so much time and effort doing this, Dan. Is it's my obligation to my country.
Amen to that, and believe me, they're poisoning our children. Thanks very much, David. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and we will call you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Talk to you then. God bless. All right, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed our interview with David Kennedy. I know I always do. And, of course, this is the time when we need to mention that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree with us, we hope that many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. We carry a great book on the subjects called The Fluoride Deception. We have my talk, it's called The Hidden Agenda, and a syllabus that goes with that. We have a DVD put out by Dr. Kennedy called A Drinking Water, and we recommend this. This is a great DVD. We have 2 4 tape sets on water fluoridation, and of course they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. They'll tell you the suggested gift if you'd like to get these 4 tape sets, the DVDs. Now, my talk on the hidden agenda, it comes with a syllabus, which is really vitally important because it gives you all of the background behind what's going on. That's the hidden agenda. It's available both in DVD and in video. And then the syllabus, the book, The Fluoride Deception. There's actually 2 DVDs, but we recommend the one, the water fluoridation, and if you want to get the others, you certainly can. Dr. Kennedy's put them together. They've done an excellent job. And then our 2 4 tape sets on fluoridation or water, or just call fluoridation. You need to have this information. You need to talk about it fluently. You need, of course, to go to their website, the EPA's website, where the scientists, the union that represents the scientists, has their website, www.nteu280.org. And then you need to help us get the word out, because they're poisoning the children. And then if you want to really understand this, you need to get, of course, my talk on the None Dare Call It Genocide. It's available in DVD. My talk on planned population reduction, because this is all about population reduction. Then, of course, you need to get the talk on population control. Is just available in video, not in DVD. And then, of course, we have a monograph. It's up on my website of radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. It's called the Population Control Agenda Monograph, and you can pull it down off the internet site, or if you get some of the other items you ask for, it we'll send it to you free of charge. It's certainly one of the best overall summaries. It's very short, but it summarizes what's really behind this, because there really is a plan to kill off millions of Americans. If you've never read the plan, it's in NSSM 200. That's the National Security Study Memorandum 200. You can pull it down off the internet, or you can get that through Radio Liberty. If you'd like to, of course, get the associated with that, Dr. David MacArthur testifying before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Affairs. We asked for $10 million to create a new disease, another method of mass killing. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who have a different agenda, and 10 years later, of course, they came up with the AIDS virus. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.